Welcome to the debut episode of the Failure to Feed podcast. I'm Guy, and joining me are Bruce and Tom. The Failure to Feed podcast will cover topics and news as it relates to guns, gear, and the Second Amendment. In today's episode, our discussion will include segments on John Moses Browning's venerable Model 1911 pistol design. We'll touch on the revolver versus semi-auto concealed carry debate and share our thoughts on the open carry movement. Without any further ado, let's jump into the discussion. In our inaugural episode, I wanted to start the discussion with a topic that is both near and dear to my heart, the Model 1911 pistol, and hear Bruce and Tom's thoughts on the design. Having been around for over 100 years, the Model 1911 has stood the test of time in a way that few, if any, other firearms have. In fact, I'm hard-pressed to think of nearly any item that was designed over 100 years ago and is both still in use today and also regarded by many people to be the best tool for the job. So, what do you guys think? Is the 1911 still a leading choice for a defensive firearm? Or is it an antiquated design that has been replaced by the plethora of modern firearms on the market today? Let's go ahead and let Bruce start with this one.
All right. Well, honestly, I don't think it's ever going to be replaced. It's pretty much the landmark for anything modern semi-automatic nowadays. I think the only thing that's in discussion now is whether 45 is your best choice for carry or duty or whatever it is. I know a lot of people are 45 purists, and then you have people like myself, which prefer a smaller caliber because it's easier to control. But as far as the design goes, it's super comfortable. Carrying it is a breeze. Even though it's a full size, it's really thin and it just hugs your body. And shooting it, surprisingly, for a 45 is surprisingly smooth.
Yeah, good points. What do you think, Tom? How do you feel about the 1911?
I think the most important thing about a firearm is, at least to me, is how it feels in your hand and how well you can operate it. So with that said, and I've shot quite a few pistols of all different kinds, polymers, of course, included. I could name off a bunch, but you all can think of which ones those are probably going to be, like the Glock, etc. But for me, the 1911, and I do own one, it's a Springfield made one, just feels right in my hand compared to all the rest. It has like a natural feel to it, a natural cant that just feels right in my hand. And because it is a little bit heavier, which actually doesn't really bother me all that much, it allows me to, you know, when comparing to the polymer pistols that I've shot and including the one that I have, it allows me to have a better feel when I shoot it. And I am so much more accurate with a 1911 than I am any polymer pistol I've ever shot. And that is important to me on a lot of levels. And, you know, we all know, like, no other firearm on earth has ever been able to match, you know, the record for longevity, versatility, and performance of that design. So do I think it'll ever be retired? No. Do I think that they'll continue to improve the design? You know, more than likely. And like Guy was saying, you know, it's been the official sidearm in the U.S. Armed Services for like 75 years, which is longer than, you know, any other continuous use military firearm in any nation's history. So that has a lot to say right there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both know, and for any of the listeners out there, like, I love the 1911 since my first gun, which was a 1911. It was a Colt back when they made the quote-unquote Series 80. I don't know, I've owned six now, I think, maybe seven. I've lost count. I've bought and sold so many. But, you know, like I said in the intro there, it's a design that's both near and dear to my heart. That said, you know, is it an quote-unquote antiquated design? You know, it's obviously not as simple as a Glock, for example. I've owned Glocks. I like them a lot, actually, but taking them down and, you know, I can completely field strip a Glock in 3 seconds versus a 1911 takes a little more time. Sometimes it needs a tool. Overall, though, yeah, you know what Tom said, it feels right in the hand. It's got the right grip angle. It just points naturally. It's excellent.
If I can add something to that, I'd like to say that it has to be one of the most customizable firearms in existence. I mean, you can change absolutely everything about that pistol, whereas, you know, you can't really say the same thing about most of the polymer pistols. Sure, they are customizable, but not to the same degree as the 1911, which, you know, kind of supports what I was saying earlier about it being about you being able to closer, you know, tailor it to your hand or your need or your comfortability with the firearm. I mean, I've done zero modifications on mine, but you know, it came pre-modified with pretty much everything I wanted. And you can buy them in that fashion, pre-modified, or you can buy a basic one and do modifications yourself and choose, you know, what trigger you would like, or, you know, what grips you would like, or, you know, magazine well changes. And I mean, all sorts of different things that you can do with that pistol.
Now, Bruce, you touched on the caliber debate, and obviously 1911 is generally in a 45, but of course you can get them in 9mm, 38 Super, probably some other calibers as well. You're carrying a 9mm right now on a general basis, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, well, I'm carrying all the time. The only time I don't carry is when I have to go somewhere it's not allowed. Unfortunately, I don't have the ability to choose when something bad happens to me, so I'd rather just play it safe.
Now, when you're, you know, this debate, I probably shouldn't direct it in this caliber debate that I'm about to, but, you know, when you're thinking about how am I going to protect myself, my family, you know, people I care about around me, whatever, do you go with the, okay, I prefer more rounds of a smaller bullet, or do I prefer, you know, the larger bullet but fewer rounds? What's your philosophy on that?
The way I see it, and it's important to note that I have never been in a gunfight of any kind, but people that have been, that I've talked to, that I've taken classes with, they're always they always say that more is better. And you're never going to find somebody that was in a gunfight that carries less ammo. The reason being is, first of all, the assumption that everything's going to go right and you're going to draw, it's going to be one shot, you're not going to miss under that kind of pressure, it's a little naive. Also, you have to take into consideration, if someone starts shooting first, you're going to have to be able to suppress them once you get to cover. And I'd rather have 15 rounds and however many backup mags you have to do that before I have to reload to get them to get behind cover. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the 1911 is rounds limited without a doubt. Generally, you're looking at a 7 or 8 round magazine, so you're running, you know, 8 or 9 rounds total. With a backup magazine, you know, you're happy to have 15, 16 rounds, but you're looking at a reload. So for sure, being rounds limited is definitely a consideration. That said, you know, me and Tom went to the gun range, I don't know, what was it, a week, 2 weeks ago. I have a Springfield TRP, which is actually my daily carry gun at the moment.
Nice.
I mean, we were both shooting that gun like, you know, one ragged hole. I mean, it's just flawless. Whereas when I had a Glock 19, you know, full disclosure, I sold that. But I mean, you know, I could shoot it well enough, but is it like, and again, this is a fantasy situation, you know, like, am I going to make a headshot in like a hostage situation? Of course, it's probably never going to happen. But if that sort of scenario ever came up where it was like, I need this one shot to count, you know, I want to pick the gun that I shoot the best, and it's not even a close margin of how much better I shoot my 1911 than I do any other gun that I've ever owned.
Yeah, Glock, especially learning how to ride that trigger reset, I think is a little more difficult to shoot, or at least get the hang of shooting. And I switch back and forth. I either carry a SIG P226 or the Glock 19, but anytime I make a switch, I make sure I go to the range beforehand and just familiarize myself with it again and get used to it before I start carrying it that week.
So now, Tom, I know that you own both a 1911 and, you know, polymer pistol. When you do in fact decide like, okay, I'm going to carry today, what's your primary choice? Are you thinking 1911 because you shoot it better, because it's, you know, more comfortable, or are you thinking I want a weapon that's lighter, more comfortable to carry, has a higher round count? You know, what are your considerations when you're thinking about that?
Well, I actually was thinking about commenting on that, and it would actually lead up to one of the discussions we're going to have in a little bit. But if I could open carry legally, I would definitely open carry my 1911. But considering the fact that the only way I can carry currently, at least in Florida or Southwest Florida, is concealed, I have tried to conceal carry my 1911. And for me, with the type of clothing that I wear, I don't wear really baggy clothing. And for me, it did put, you know, a significant amount of weight, especially with a full magazine, on my belt, which seemed to kind of always pull my pants down. So I always felt like I, you know, I had to, you know, fix my pants or lift them up or adjust multiple times throughout the day. Yeah. So I do have a Glock 19. It is a little bit lighter, you know, with a full magazine, you know, it's still fairly heavy, but I don't have that much of a problem with it. And because it's overall a smaller pistol, it seems to print less as well. So I would say for everyday carry concealed, the Glock 19 is a little bit more comfortable than my 1911 would be. I think that, you know, it would be a lot more comfortable if I chose a smaller compact size like 380. But for me, the 380 just doesn't have, in my opinion, the stopping power in the event that something did happen.
Yeah, and that brings up a topic that we're going to have to talk about, the 380 versus the 9mm. We'll save that for another discussion, though. But you're sort of segueing us into the next topic, so I'm going to put the 1911 discussion to sleep. I think it's pretty clear that we all like the 1911, but we all like other guns, too. And, you know, you should. It's not like one tool for every job. So with that in mind, let's look at the next segment, and this is a hot-button topic that's been debated ad nauseum, and I'm of the opinion that sometimes it can be fun to beat a dead horse, so here we go. What about revolver versus semi-auto? Tell our listeners what's your preferred choice for concealed carry, for home defense, for plinking at the range, you know, whatever. You know, tell us what you think and why. How about you, you lead with this one, Tom?
Well, that's a pretty good debate. I do like revolvers. There's no doubt they're typically 100% reliable because there's very few things that can go wrong in a revolver system. However, if it was my choice for carry, it would definitely not be a revolver, mostly because of the low round count and the time it takes to reload it. Even if you do have a speed loader, I can certainly reload my Glock infinitely faster than with one of those. So if you were to ask me that question, which you did, it would definitely not be a revolver for carry.
Yeah, what about you, Bruce? I'm guessing you're going to be sort of in the same ballpark as far as carry, but, you know, what about in general and for any other uses? What are you thinking about revolvers as they compare to semi-autos?
The only time I ever really shoot a revolver, it's when a buddy brings one to the range and it's in some ridiculous caliber that I know I'm going to regret shooting later that day. And, you know, that's about it. I don't exactly enjoy it when it's single action only. The double action's kind of ridiculously heavy if it's double action only. And the way you've seen how I hold the gun, the thumbs forward and everything, if I try to get too much of a forward grip, I don't know if you've ever made that awesome mistake of letting your thumb ride right where the cylinder breaks.
Yeah, I haven't personally, but my dad did it once. It was gnarly.
Yeah, no, it's not fun at all. So for me, they're kind of uncomfortable. It's a nice novelty gun. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike revolvers, but I would never carry one, and it's at the end of my shopping list.
You know, I love revolvers, and sadly, I shoot them horribly. It's a weird thing. My very first carry gun was a Ruger LCR 38 Special Revolver, double action only, and I shot it like crap. I mean, you know, at 5 to 7 yards, I was on paper, but, you know, I was nothing to write home about. You know, that said, I still carry a revolver sometimes. Right now, I currently own a Smith & Wesson J-Frame, a model 637. If I'm going to go, I don't know, to the gym or anywhere where I'm going to be wearing some sort of like loose fitting shorts, I mean, there's really almost no lighter option. I suppose there are probably some really small semi-autos in 380 caliber, maybe even 9mm that start to compete with, you know, a 14 or 16 ounce revolver. But it's pretty hard to choose one of those over the revolver. But, you know, like I said, I don't shoot them great. They're very difficult to shoot. In single action mode, obviously, it's not bad if you're at the range. It's a lot of fun to crank the hammer back and have that just pristine trigger break that revolvers have when they're in single action mode. But, you know, cranking down on a 10-pound double action trigger is it's pretty difficult. So, you know, you got to keep your sights on, sights aligned and on target.
Definitely takes some practice, although we did pretty well with that at the range when we went last time.
Yeah, last time I went to the range, I brought my it's model 27 Smith & Wesson 357. I took Bruno out to the range once a long time ago, and he shot my Ruger Super Blackhawk in 44 Magnum. I mean, it's just fun. It's an enjoyable range gun, you know?
Yeah, I compare it to like shooting a lever action when it comes to rifles.
I think everyone should at least own a revolver, you know, in their lineup for defense.
Yeah, there's also something nostalgic about it for me. I mean, if I had more money than sense, I'd love to own a Colt single action army, for example. You know, it's like you see things from movies or in history or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's something romantic about it, maybe is the way to describe it. But, you know, they're fun. They're interesting. So here's, I guess, the question, though. If you're not concealed carrying a revolver, you're probably not choosing it for a home defense weapon either, I'm guessing. Let's see. What do you think about that, Bruce? Is it a home defense gun, or is it not even relegated to that duty?
I mean, it can be. I'm kind of, well, even my gun nut friends think I'm a little over the edge with my home defense. I just keep my AR loaded right next to me.
Yeah.
And they always question, what about over-penetration? I'm just, I don't have anyone else in the house. So, but that being said, at least, I don't know, some people get nervous about keeping one in the pipe when they have, you know, kids, obviously, in it. At least with a revolver, it's really easy to tell if the thing's loaded, you know, and if you, there's no racking involved or anything, it's pretty much you pick it up and you're good to go if you're one of those kind of people. But every one of my guns in the house is loaded, so I don't keep paperweights.
Yeah, no, there's probably not much use to it if it doesn't have a bullet in the chamber.
I think any firearm could be considered a self-defense weapon for home. I would say any firearm versus no firearm is definitely, you know, something we said for self-defense. And I don't see why anyone would say that a revolver couldn't be.
I think the only shortcoming, and this doesn't apply to every revolver, there are models out there that have it, but not having the ability to mount a light on your quote-unquote home defense gun is, you know, that's definitely a shortcoming. Mm-hmm. The odds of you needing a gun at all at home are slim, but, you know, if that should come up, it seems to me, anecdotally anyway, that, you know, it's probably going to be at night, so...
I think if we're talking about an optimal home defense gun, then yes, totally agree with you.
Yeah,
but I would say, you know, a revolver versus nothing, you know, is definitely still in the home defense category. But I agree on a light, you know, or something of that nature.
You also got to take into consideration what the person's comfortable with, you know.
Well, yeah. Then, you know, there's a lot of people, female shooters, maybe inexperienced shooters. They're comfortable with that idea of I can pick it up, pull the trigger, and it goes bang. You know, that is a very sort of comforting reliability standpoint. And, you know, for the most part, that's true of, you know, say a Glock or a Smith & Wesson M&P or any of the new modern Wonder pistols. But I think, you know, in their mind, they just think like, okay, I just know that this is going to work. It's not going to jam. It's not going to have any problems. I don't have to futz with a safety. Just, you know, click and boom.
Yeah. Well, my Glock works that way too.
Well, you know, there's a psychological there's a psychological fear of like the semi-auto and all the moving parts and stuff. No,
I get it. My lady's the same way. She's she gets freaked out. She's intimidated. She still thinks, you know. Some people are in that they think magic works firearms. They have no idea that it's a machine inside, how the parts go. I think once you get familiar with it, you get over that. But I definitely get where you can see how the revolver works every time you shoot it, and it's a comfort factor.
I think all firearms are a real personal decision, personal choice. I think it's different for everyone. I mean, many people may agree, but I think it's a very personal choice, and whatever people feel comfortable with is what they should use.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I think, you know, we all kind of agree that revolvers are cool, they're fun, they're probably not necessarily the best first choice weapon, but they're better than a no weapon at all situation. So, you know, that being said, let's move on to our last segment that we're going to talk about today, and that's the open carry movement. A couple of months ago, there was a guy who chose to exercise his Second Amendment rights by open carrying an AR-15 rifle in the terminal of a Georgia airport. There's also the group Open Carry Texas that goes for a similar in-your-face approach to carrying black rifles in public places like restaurants and coffee shops as their preferred method of Second Amendment activism. Now, a lot of supporters of the Second Amendment think that those actions do more harm than good and actually set back the progress people have made towards issues like open carry laws and the national right to carry reciprocity. So, you know, how do you guys feel about open carry, both in general and, you know, these activists that are open carrying rifles and tactical carbines in public places? Let's start with Bruce on this one.
Well, here's my issue with the open carry movement, the activists anyway. I know the goal is to get attention to them, but then again, they dress in some pretty ridiculous ways for being out in public, you know, with the head-to-toe 5'11 and your Molon Lav shirts and all that gear. And I don't think it's doing the gun owner community any favors to intimidate people. Obviously, they're going to make somebody who's never been around a gun a little more nervous. And I know the point is to bring attention to it, but I think there's got to be a better way to do it positively without scaring the crap out of everybody trying to get a coffee.
That makes every sense. Every soccer mom at Starbucks is freaking out when these guys walk in.
Yeah, I mean, you could also argue that that's their problem. It's a right, and it can't be taken away. But at the same time, I think there's a certain amount of respect that goes into not choosing to dress like that. I saw somebody open carrying. I forget what it was, in a Gun Saves Live article. It was a Gun Saves Lives article. And the guy was in a suit, and he had his revolver at his hip, but he was dressed really professional, and it didn't look like he was attracting any unnecessary attention. I think if you're going to do it, that's the way to go about it. If you're trying to bring attention to something, at least look professional.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this one, Tom?
Well, it's a pretty good topic to discuss. How many states really don't allow it whatsoever? I think there's only, like, what, 7 or so that actually don't allow it?
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, actually, but
I know California, Texas, Illinois, Florida, of course, New York. I think South Carolina also does not allow it. But my opinion is this. Society has changed significantly when it comes to guns, right? In the Old West, every man carried a gun, visibly, right? But today, with how society has changed, it has become more of a comfort thing, meaning people feel uncomfortable seeing someone with a gun visibly, even if it's a policeman. So I would say because of how society is, and I truly believe in having every right in the United States, you know, to have freedom. I don't think that right should be taken away. I do believe if somebody truly wants to open carry, you know, you're not a criminal until you commit a crime. So I believe that should be allowed. But by the same token, because of how our society has changed, I do believe that if you do that, you are going to be making a lot of people feel uncomfortable. So would I ever open carry in public, you know, at least, you know, be a different story if I lived somewhere out on a farm or whatever, or you know, more of a rural area. But around a lot of people, I don't think I ever would, only because I wouldn't want to make people feel uncomfortable. So at that point, I would choose to not open carry and conceal carry for my protection or protection of my family.
Yeah, you know, there's also the argument of you give away your tactical advantage. You know, let's just talk about sidearms for a second, not open carrying rifles as a matter of activism, but you know, in an actual self-defense scenario, you give away your tactical advantage a little bit. If, you know, a criminal says, like, oh, I'm going to rob this joint. There's a dude with a gun. Obviously, I'm going to attack him first. You know, that's at least the argument that people make. It, I guess, makes sense a little bit. On the other hand, maybe the person sees you and just says, I'm not even going to bother, you know, messing with this situation because there's a person with a gun. So, you know, it could go either way. But you know, at the very least, there's the possibility that you've thrown away a piece of your advantage by advertising the fact that you're armed. For that reason, yeah, I could see just keeping it concealed. You know, nobody needs to know your business. But there's probably times where I'd like to be able to open carry. Like, I don't know, say we're having a barbecue in a public place somewhere and like, you know, there's a lot of people, we're hanging out, having a good time. You want to like show off your fancy holster and your fancy gun. You know, it'd be nice to not have to worry about the law getting in your way from doing something like that. So, you know, I wish, at least here in Florida, I wish I could open carry, but I don't think I would all that often. I'd like the option, though. You know, who doesn't like options? Now, in regards to the whole activism, carrying around ARs and shotguns and stuff in public and basically looking like a, you know, a tactical ninja, and I think for
that's
the most
a bit
part,
much.
Scaring people, yeah.
I mean, how silly would... I think that's a bit much. I mean, they're obviously just doing that for attention and to prove a point. I mean, yeah, it might be legal, but come on. I mean, even if I was a policeman, knowing what the rights are, if I saw you walking down my street in my neighborhood with an AR-15 in your hands, I'd be a little bit suspect.
Yeah, you'd at least want to, like, stop them and, you know, feel them out, make sure they're not...
I mean, how many normal people in their right mind would even think to do that without thinking to themselves for a minute, well, hey, wait a minute. I wonder if, you know, maybe people will think I'm a little bit crazy here, you know? So, I mean, I can't say I blame law enforcement for that.
Now, there's a flip side to that coin, too, in that, you know, I'm not all for it when people are just storming into a coffee shop or a restaurant trying to make a spectacle of themselves. But there are times when people have actual rallies, you know, gun rights rallies at, say, state capitals or whatever. You know, it would be nice to not be harassed for carrying your rifle on your back while you're at a gun rights rally. You know, those were going on a lot after the Sandy Hook incident. And there was, you know, people there for all one purpose and showing their support for the Second Amendment. And part of showing their support is, you know, quote unquote, bearing arms. And in those scenarios, I have no problem with it personally. I don't know. What do you think about that, Bruce, versus, you know, the actual rally versus, you know, one or two people just making a spectacle of themselves and putting it on YouTube?
No, I completely agree. If it's a rally and you're protesting for your gun rights, you should be able to carry whatever you want. And I think at that point, it's a little bit different. Of course, you're going to have the bored soccer moms with nothing better to do having a problem with it. But then again, we put up with their bull crap all the time. So in that sense, if it's a political protest, people are just going to have to deal with it. You're holding signs. Yeah. People know what you're up to. No one's going to be like, oh, they're going to go shoot up everybody. Yeah.
It's
they
not
might
something
say that.
On. Yeah, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's a gathering for that purpose. You know, it was a planned thing, so...
And as far as open carrying goes, I do wear an outside the waistband holster a lot with a loose shirt over it. I would like to be able to go check my mail without having to put the big shirt over my normal clothes.
Yeah, when I'm at home alone, like, I don't always carry a gun when I'm at home. It's probably I should. You mean, you know, someone kicks in the door. Hopefully I'm fast enough to go retrieve my gun. But, you know, maybe half the time I actually have my gun on, like when my pants are on, right? But I'm in the same scenario. It's like, oh, man, I want to go get my mail or whatever. And I got to go get a jacket. And it's like 97 degrees and then 99% humidity. I've got to go throw a vest on. I got to go throw an overshirt on. Yeah, it's a pain to have to walk 100 yards down my driveway to get the mail. It's silly. You're totally right there in that regard.
I think you should be allowed to. I don't think your rights should be, you know, taken away to do that. But my opinion, and it's just my opinion, and it goes back to comfort level of you know, I want to call them normal people, you know, people that really don't own guns or are afraid of guns or, you know, don't, you know, believe that people shouldn't have guns at all. Granted, naive, that's a whole other topic, but...
The sheeple.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in my neighborhood, when there's children around and things like that, to be honest, as much as I would care to, I mean, I just wouldn't for that purpose. Like, you know, kids and everything, they're exposed to guns in all sorts of different avenues, whether they be movies or video games or whatever. And, you know, those are more, you know, non-real things or movies and video games. And the last thing I want to do is add to that by walking out in my driveway to check the mailbox and have a gun on my belt. You know what I mean? For me, that's just my opinion. And I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with that. But I'd rather the kids in my neighborhood didn't see that and were exposed to it as little as possible.
Yeah, you also have to take in consideration a huge factor is where you live. Like, I live out in the woods. And I know everybody and their mother over here owns a gun or has a gun. It's been around them. So they're not going to say as much to me as they would somebody living in an apartment complex. But still, I would like to be on the legal safe side. My mailbox is out on the street to be able to do that without getting hassled.
Oh, sure. Maybe you're at your place of business or whatever. You know, you're rocking around the office and it's like, oh, I'm going to go to lunch. You can't walk from your car to, you know, to the front door of your office without, like, stowing away your firearm or, like, you know, feeling like you're some sort of leper or criminal because you want to walk 100 yards from the front door of your office to your car with a firearm on your hip. Yeah, it's a little silly.
I am completely unapologetic to people that give me weird looks because, you know, I've been working the same job for about 12 years now. It's a family-run business, and we do have an office, and I open carry in the office sometimes when I want to take my overshirt off. People will come in, and they'll eyeball it, and I'm like, oh, do you need to leave? You have a problem focusing? I don't get what you're so appalled at, and I've gotten some nasty looks before, but I just laugh it off.
No, I got that beat. I've had friends come to my home and, you know, I carry my gun if I'm at home sometimes, most of the time. Certainly if I've been out all day and I still have it on me, like I don't take it off for any reason if it's already been on me. And I've had friends make comments, like one time it was a friend of a friend. We were playing a game and a buddy of mine said, hey, I'm going to bring my roommate over. I never met the guy. He came over, could see my 1911 sticking out of my pants because I had my shirt tucked in. And he's like, geez, what is this, like a dangerous neighborhood or something? What's up with the gun? I had another friend, a very, very good friend who I've known for years and years and years, tell me that it makes him uncomfortable to be here when I'm holding my, or when I'm carrying my gun. Like somehow I am like creating a threatening situation for him. And again, I've known this guy for, you know, a decade.
It makes me uncomfortable that people are uncomfortable with inanimate objects.
Yeah.
You know, I could do just as much damage with a nail gun from work. More so if I'm close enough, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand people that can't grasp that it's a tool, that it can't do anything on its own.
Because they just were brought up differently than we were, you know. I mean, my father was in the military, you know. I was always, growing up, I was always fascinated by military. So, I mean, for me, it's different. And there are other people that live very sheltered lives and were taught by their parents that guns are evil and the source of evil. You know, so they just never had that comfort level. And that's why, you know, it's different. I don't frown on them for it. I mean, you know, if they feel uncomfortable, they feel uncomfortable. And if I choose to make them feel more comfortable by putting it away, well, then that's just me being respectful of their, you know, issue. But it is what it is. There's varying degrees of comfort when it comes to firearms in this world. And you're going to find that on every single topic there is.
Yeah, it's really weird. Well, my position's really weird because I am an immigrant. And where I'm from Argentina, for the most part, the private sector does not even get to look at a firearm. Unless you're a cop or military, you've never touched one before. So growing up here in the States, I came here when I was really young, I would always go to friends' houses. And I think the first time I got to shoot a gun was 22. I'm pretty sure everybody's first time they pulled the trigger was 22. And it was with my dad's friend. He took us out to a range. And fortunately, my dad had done some hunting beforehand, so he was pretty familiar. We shot a whole bunch of guns that day, but they put the, I went home and I told my mom about it and she freaked. She's like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm just like, I don't think you understand. It's not a big deal. We're shooting at paper, not people.
Well, I think your mom was more concerned about your safety versus anything else. My mother would have been, she would have been worried that I would have shot myself, you know?
I was young and I think in 2012, my mom was 52. I took her to shoot her first gun and she loved it. She's completely the opposite now. She feels comfortable around him, especially how much I pushed it on her. Because, you know, when people tell you no for so long, finally you're allowed to do something. Yeah. It's just like when you first get your concealed carry permit, you look like a walking 5'11 ad.
Now, here, that brings up a question. I know we're talking about open carry, but let me ask you guys, both of you, I'll let Tom answer first. When you're concealed carrying, especially like, you know, that first week of when, I don't know if you remember like that first week when you're concealed carrying, are you just like, A, totally bugging out the whole time? I think we all probably were. But also, since then, and since you've concealed carried, have you been aware of anyone spotting your firearm ever?
I haven't really paid attention to that, to be honest. I think my first week of concealed carry was more adjusting to having something there and getting used to it. You know, after a couple of days, I did get used to it. And then, with the nice holster I have, you know, at some point I actually forgot I even had it there. I mean, it was that comfortable. I definitely had a different feeling about me as far as the way I carried myself. I felt more in control, you know, in the event that something bad were to happen. At least I felt like I had more control over the situation, which was nice because you feel a little bit more confident. Other than that, I haven't really noticed anyone. I think for the most part, people don't know to look for that unless they are concealed carry permit holders or gun enthusiasts. I don't think really people ever look for that sort of thing unless it's blatantly obvious. You know, bend over and it prints or it shows or whatnot.
Yeah, the first week for me was really, really paranoid. And I've gotten so utterly shameless with my carry because it's so comfortable. I do it every day no matter what. It's gotten to the point where I set up my work uniforms for the week and they all have a belt on them with the holster with whatever gun I want to carry. It's a lot easier and it's become so natural now. It's, you know, how before it was the 3-pat system where keys, you pat for your phone and your wallet and you'd be out the door. Now it's just one extra pat, make sure it's there.
Yeah, I think I posted this on Facebook. You might have replied to it. You know, I asked, like, for all my concealed carry friends that are still in the dating scene, have you ever had the opportunity of a, you know, girl you're dating or whatever that doesn't realize you're concealed carrying to kind of get up on you? And she's like, is that a gun in your pocket? Are you happy to see me? And you're like, it's a gun.
But I really wish my girlfriend was here because that exact thing happened.
That's awesome. Yeah, for me, I don't know, that first week, you know, the big thing for me was like I was just like hyper aware. Like for some reason it dialed me into like my surroundings more, where like I'd go to the I quit smoking in October, but I used to go to the convenience store and maybe 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning even and go get cigarettes, and I never really looked around or paid attention or anything. And for some reason, when I started carrying a gun, I was, you know, I don't want to use the cliched, like, oh, I had my head on a swivel, but I was certainly more aware of my surroundings. And it was probably like in the back of my mind, you know, realizing the gravity of the situation where like, if I had to use my gun, that's a really big deal. Whereas before that, you know, I wasn't even thinking about like my personal well-being or my, you know, self-defense or anything. After that, you know, there was probably still a period of time where I was doing the like nagging, pull my shirt down, you know, make sure my shirt is like covering it. But yeah, now I don't even think about it anymore. And people ask me like, oh, what if someone spots it? What if somebody would, you know, what if it prints or whatever? I don't care. Nobody's looking, first of all. If they do look, it's not against the law to print. I'm just not worried about it anymore.
It's not even against the law to show it on accident here in Florida. I should clarify.
Yeah.
You know, if you bend down and it pops out for a second, yeah, you'll have some granny freak out and call the cops, and you'll have some explaining to do while your hands are behind your back on the floor, but you won't go to jail.
To add to what you said, Guy, I definitely felt more hyper aware, as you put it. But I also felt like I had a little bit more respect for it. You know, I was thinking to myself, and I've heard other people say this, in my opinion, it's ludicrous to want that, but I've heard people say like, oh, you know, I can't wait for the day for something to happen and I can pull my piece and whatever. And, you know, to me, I actually hope the opposite. I hope I never have to.
Same. Oh, absolutely.
I do feel comfortable knowing the fact that I do have it on me. And if by, you know, some act of, I guess, whatever you want to call it, some act of the devil or whatever, evil, something were to happen, if I'm able to save, A, my life, you know, my family's life, or even that of an innocent bystander, you know, then I would at least feel good about myself for that.
Yeah, I carry to be prepared for the day I hope never comes.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, it would be so terrible. And those egotistical bastards, I'm going to call them, they're just out of their mind thinking they're the wanting something like that to happen. I couldn't imagine having to deal with the fact that I took somebody's life, no matter what they were doing. But yeah. I would much rather that happen than have my family bury me.
I think there's definitely a psychological effect to that. No matter how hard you think you are, until that day comes, you have no idea what is going to go on in your mind psychologically and, you know, permanently after that point. But, you know, it's like the old adage in the military, It's better to be prepared and hope for the best, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we kind of segued off into a little bit of a concealed carry discussion there, but I think it was good. It was interesting. But we're starting to run long. We're at 50 minutes here, so let's go ahead and cut today's podcast. I think it turned out as a good first episode. So, yeah, let's wrap it up. And I just want to say thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and I hope you'll continue to listen in the future. So, yeah, please like and subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends about us. And hopefully we'll have another show. What are we going to do this? Maybe bi-weekly? We'll shoot for bi-weekly. Hopefully we'll have something in 2 weeks.